Watch who?
Hello.
And welcome to Two Watch Who, a Doctor Who podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Sarah.
I'm a Doctor Who fan.
And I'm new to watching Who.
Watching for the very first time.
Very first time.
Oh, and before we start, Sarah, the great healer wants to see you. I mean, I don't know why I have to send the message, but hey, I'm the messenger, but he wants to see you, so.
Okay.
Just letting you know.
Lucky me.
Maybe see him after this.
Yeah, he can wait.
And yeah, here we are, Revelation of the Daleks this week. That was a weird intro. I should have done more of an impression, shouldn't I? But
I enjoyed it. I did stop for a moment. I was just drinking as you like started that, and I was like, "What's he saying?"
Where's it was going? Either that, or I was going to do the mutant and just be like, "Ah!" But I thought I better not do that. Yeah, it's been a little while since we recorded time.
We've met in person, though.
We have. We had our time in Brighton.
Funsies.
And I don't know if anyone saw the video. We went to the beach where the Leisure Hive was filmed.
Yeah, people thought I was hostage.
Yes. You did want to be there.
I chose to go.
Doctor Who fans will be pleased to know that you saw the John Nathan Turner bus in Brighton. And I'll have to put the pictures up for that.
Which ones? Mark was like, there it is. And it was really far away. And he was like, stand there. I was like, stand where? I'm in front of a bus that's really far away.
Just to explain, producer John Nathan Turner, who produced such classics as Revelation of the Daleks, used to live near Brighton. And all the buses, I don't know, is this just a Brighton thing? Is it anywhere else? All the buses are named after prominent people of the area. And John Nathan Turner has a bus. So I do always look out for him going round. And Sarah, you got to meet producer John Nathan Turner in bus form.
In bus form, yeah. That was more hostage than being on the beach, I'll be honest.
And we saw a lovely play about nuclear war. That was great.
Okay. Have you thought about nuclear war since?
A little bit, yeah. Maybe like every day. That was fun.
It was fun, actually.
Oh, I was going to tell you as well. You know, I bought that book when we were in Brighton.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I bought that. When did I buy that? The Friday.
Yeah.
I'd finished it by the Tuesday.
God, you are reading.
It was so good.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. And it's called Devil's Breath, and it's about a lady that has poisonous plants. She collects poisonous plants, and then she's spying on her neighbour, and she sees something going on, and basically somebody is killed by poisonous plants, and she's like investigating. And the woman in it, it's exactly like, and there is a Doctor Who connection. Do you remember, what's her name? Amelia. The one that we've had two, there's two Amelias, haven't we? We've got the one in Stones of Blood who was with Romana and the stones. But I'm thinking about the one that painted the plants in the Seeds of Doom. Amelia Ducar. It's very Amelia Ducar investigates. It's the closest thing to an Amelia Ducar spin-off.
Situation.
And I read that the TV and film rights have been sold for the book, so hopefully there's a new TV detective on the way. Look, because the description is just like Amelia Ducar as well. Oh, and I've read another book since then as well.
Oh my gosh, Mark,
get this is this is totally me. There's a whole series of detective books, right? It's the Queen investigating murders, actual Queen Elizabeth.
This is so you. What's it called?
So this one was called Death in Diamonds, and this is this is the younger Queen. So this is set in the 50s. So it's like Prince Philip, Anne, Charles, everybody's in it.
I
want
to read these.
And she's working. There's like a secretary in like the royal household that's like helping her. But she is like putting everything together. Actual Queen. And it's like historical.
This could be our spin-off podcast. Maybe we should do a book club.
Oh my God, they need to make a TV show
of that
this.
Series.
Because in my head, it's just like The Crown, but she's investigating murders.
It's been a busy few weeks, listeners. So this is why me and Mark have been late. Meeting, what a hectic 2 weeks. But like literally I've had no time. This is like, we had to delay this as well, didn't we?
Because yeah. So coffee time. Members, I'm literally editing this as soon as we finish, because you should have got this yesterday. Well, should we start?
Yeah,
because we've got quite a lot to get through this one, because this one is my favorite Sixth Doctor story.
I can see that. There's a lot to like in this.
Oh good, okay, good. because I wasn't sure.
I watched it, in fact, all in one sitting.
I watched part one yesterday, and I didn't watch part two because I know it so well. I didn't even need to watch this one. I've watched it so many times. I watched this on TV in, like, 1992, the first time when it was on. And it's directed by the guy that did The Fifth Doctor's Last Story, that amazing director, Graham Harper.
Yeah. What was The Fifth Doctor's Last Story, remind me?
Perry, Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was really directed. That stood out. And this is the only other one he directed. He does go on, I think I said before, to do the new series and Hollyoaks and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's you can just tell the quality is suddenly turned right up when Graham Harper directs.
I'll tell you what I liked about it. The story's good. That's fine. It's the humour and it's the moments of, like, high drama. Because the reality is, Davros is not the most exciting villain. He's got that face. He doesn't really move much. I mean, especially in the first... he's a head, right? And then you've got the Daleks that are very monotone. To have other things around it, you've got to have really strong supporting characters. And there was some really good double acts in this. There was a lot of, like, pairs that were just really strong.
I literally was going to say there's so many pairs in this.
So many pairs.
I thought instead of going through the story, I've written down seven pairs that we could talk about all the different pairs. Because there's so many characters. I was worried that you were going to say there's too many characters.
There's a lot, but I feel like there's enough for the story. Sometimes you have so many and no one has anything to do. Because there's so much depth and things in this. Like when it started, actually, because you're straight in it, it took me about, I'd say, 10 minutes. Because it goes from, they arrive and they're in those blue stuff. You go to the, and you've got that radio DJ. Great character, but I was like, what is going on?
Because I've seen it a lot. Obviously, I know how it all ties up. But I was trying to think, if you're watching this for the first time, like, the Doctor and Perry are separate from everyone for that whole first episode.
Ages.
Because you have all these different pairs coming in. There's one storyline, and then another one starts, and then another one starts, and then another
the
one
first
starts.
10 minutes, I think, was the toughest. That, in fact, once I got over that, I just watched it the whole way through. I had to, like, stop and rewind, because to the point, because it was so much, I was like, have I missed something? It's sort of like, because I was like, well, where are they? And what's this? And then with that radio DJ, which felt so different, and I was like, what have I missed something? And I went back a bit and then watched it. I was like, I've not. And I was saying to my friend, I was like, I'm just like, they messaged me, what are you doing? And I went, I'm just trying to understand this story. And about 15, 20 minutes later, and have you understood it? I went, yeah, I think I've got it now. But like, initially, it was a bit of a, there's a lot to take in and it's so different. But actually, that's kind of why it worked, having all the different pairs and it being like, that's why I didn't feel too much, because sometimes it can feel a bit paddingy. Paddingy? That sounds like Paddington. Paddingy.
Well, it does get criticism. I mean, everyone, I think, loves this one and thinks it's really well directed. The criticism is that is it a Doctor Who story? Because actually the Doctor's pretty much not part of the story. It's all happening without the Doctor and Perry, you know, and he's not in it enough. That's the only thing for a Doctor Who story, because it could work on its own as its own thing with all
these...
But
I think
because, like,
you've got Davros and, like, that's why it does. If you had, like, a different monster, I think that could be another argument. But because Davros and Daleks are so, you know, they are it. They are Doctor Who as much as the Doctor, as much as Cybermen are. They're so part of it that's kind of gives it...
Well, should we go through the different pairs then I've got and talk about it as we go? So my first pair...
I don't remember any names.
I've got them all written down, don't worry.
Doctor and who?
So I've got Doctor and Perry first. We'll get those done first. Close watch. They look great in blue. I love the Doctor's cape. I think that's brilliant.
It's nice. I'm wearing blue, actually, today. Mm. It's that sort of blue, isn't it? Mm.
And Perry, what do you think of Perry's out? Perry's wrapped up for the first time ever, obviously, because it's... like.
I did laugh when he had to lift her up and she had her little kitten heels on.
She's still got heels, yeah.
It's like, she's going to rip that. She's going to rip that cloak and those heels.
When she's going down in the ice at the beginning, there's that, like, long... like, because they didn't know that's real snow. They didn't know when they were filming. It just appeared overnight on location. That is all real snow. They just had to deal with it. But it makes it look amazing. It looks like big budget, but actually... it just was there. So that was really good. Luckily, they were all wrapped up. Yeah, like I've said, Doctor and Perry, they are just wandering around for the first episode most of the time. Their bickering is at an all-time low. There's not really much of that. They've got a really good relationship.
There's banter rather than bicker. What does she do to his cloak or something? He's like, oh, come on. Like, that whole scene, it's a little bit petty, but actually, it's their relationship now.
Oh, she, when they're going over the wall, she breaks his pocket watch. That's what it is.
Oh, there we are. Yeah. I was going to say something happened. I thought she'd ripped his cloak. Yeah, like all that, a little bit petty, but actually, it shows the dynamics where they're at now. And he still is that character, that sort of dismissive, but she's not upset and offended by it anymore. She knows that's how he is. So it's banter rather than bicker.
It is banter, and it's there's a few slight lines I've been overcritical here, but he does, what does he say at the beginning about you eat too much and then says she's too heavy to get over the wall and stuff? That's a bit out of order. But then she calls him Porky as well, so it is banter rather than...
I just put it down to that's how their relationship is.
Yeah, nothing really happens with them until the end of that cliffhanger with the Doctor's statue and everything.
Yeah.
That's a good moment.
Well, you have the murder. Perry does murder a man.
Oh, the mutant thing. Yeah, the mutant thing. That's Perry cool. That looks great. I mean, poor guy.
Yeah, there's some good makeup in this.
Whoever had to get in that lake in the freezing cold.
And then come out looking like that, yeah.
So this is on the DVDs and the Blu-rays and in loads of interviews. So that mutant guy... They originally offered the part to Laurence Olivier. And he turned it down as the mutant. So I don't know why they decided... You know, this is the marketing guest star, you know,
what,
press.
What, when he was sick in the leg?
They were going to offer that... Yeah, he was going to play the mutant. Or, well, I mean, he was never actually going to do it. They offered it to him.
If they were going to offer him something, they should have offered him, who's great, and we'll come to him later, but the Doctor. As in, like, the one with the wig. Not our Doctor.
Oh, Joe Bell.
Yeah. Joe Bell.
The one with the wig.
Oh, sorry. I heard that as Joe Bell. Not
Jabel.
Joe Bell.
No, Joe Bell.
Oh, Joe Bell. Who's Joe Bell?
He's, you know, husband of...
You're thinking of me.
No, I was going to say something like...
UK Bell?
No.
Alison Fell.
No, I was gonna say. Well, no, he is. Hines and Bouquet. But I was trying to think of a similar name, like not Joe Bell, Lady Triangle or something. I was trying to think of a.
How long for that?
Sorry. I was trying to think of a name.
Lady Triangle.
Joe Bell and Lady Triangle. Anyway. What are we talking about? Oh, yeah, the mutant. Yeah, the mutant's cool. And Perry, like, killing him and stuff. That was fun.
Yeah.
Well, not fun, but it was a good moment for her.
Yeah. It kind of set the tone as well.
Oh, that's what we had. More botany. She picks up a plant.
She just put,
I think this is the third story in a row that she's
had some...
She's got plant. Some botany
plants come
and
back
stuff.
At the end as well, don't they? But we're skipping.
Yeah, because that actually sets up for later on, doesn't it? The way although she picks it up as if she's, like, going to collect it. Has that been in her pocket the whole time? That is not going to survive to get back to her collection.
but maybe she'll pick another on the way.
Anyway, I love how Perry wants to go and see the DJ and they get on and how they chat and stuff.
That was great, yeah. DJ.
I loved
the DJ. Great character.
That's Alexei Sayle.
So what's he been in?
So he was...
Because his name came up in the credits and I was thinking, I know the name, but I can't think.
So he's like a comedian.
Yeah.
He was like a famous comedian in the 80s more. Were you there? He did... he came to the gate and did an audience with...
Oh my gosh.
An audience...
That's why I know
do
the
you remember?
Name.
I think it sold pretty well. Remember that really dodgy promoter that booked in loads of stuff? And you were definitely around then. You know that guy? And like the whole brochure...
You remember, Mark, if we're talking dodgy promoters, side story, do you remember the guy that was going to pay like $4,000 for like one night and it was going to be a whole night of dance and music and comedy and we were like, where are all these people coming from?
Oh no, I don't remember that one.
First, and they were only two nights and I was like, you can't have to, you can just try.
Oh yeah, no,
I remember. I was like, what are you on about? No, they're not even going to sell one. What are you on about? Who are these people?
I remember them,
like,
yeah.
And we got to it and it just never happened. And I was like, that was never happening.
Yes. Oh, I can't remember their name now. I can see the picture though. It was all people like dancing
on
stage.
Everything about it was awful.
No, but this guy...
No, the dodgy promoter.
No, so he booked in loads of like an evening with... Oh, we had Jermaine Greer happened. And
I don't remember that.
He did remember because someone saw her in the Wetherspoons in Cardiff on her way. Do you remember that?
Oh, is that rings a bell?
Well, we did an evening with Jermaine Greer, and then we did an evening with Alexis Sale.
Right.
They were the only two that happened, because then he booked in, like, there was a crime writer, there was Sean Phillips. Oh, there was the guy that fought in the Falklands War. What's his name? Simon. What's his name?
Oh, I remember that one.
That didn't happen because we sold like one ticket.
So I feel this is just as I was starting. I don't remember.
Oh, maybe. Oh, I thought you were...
I think because I remember that one, and I remember that really early on, and then it didn't happen, but I didn't know why. So
we
I
didn't
feel
sell
like just
any
started.
Tickets. One person phoned me up on a Sunday and was like, "Can I have a free ticket because I fought with him in the Falklands War?" And I was like, "No." And then he had a go at me, and we didn't sell
yes!
any other tickets.
Yeah, I remember that.
But anyway, we did have Alexis Sale there. Anyway, that's him, the DJ. So I don't know why I didn't go to that. I don't know why I should have gone to see him. I'd be like, "You're the DJ."
You'd have like, you could have stood there with your decks or a 50s outfit on.
Oh,
looking
I mean,
you're in Greece.
There's so many characters in this, so many different things. You could do a whole Doskers on just this story, and he could have all the clothes watch different
his,
things.
His Greece outfit is definitely up for a Dosker for sure.
I mean, it's a bit, it's so silly, isn't it? Every time it cuts back to him, he's got a different outfit on and he's doing a different thing.
I enjoyed it.
But it's an interesting idea, though. Because so the doctor's coming to visit his friend. Yeah.
And he's gone. Like, he's a Dalek.
Yeah. So
or
that's
dead.
What's going on. Then you've got this DJ.
Or be eaten. Because they're eating humans.
Perry gets harassed by Jo Bell, which I'm going to put down as her trauma watch for this time. This is her.
Oh, what? Sorry?
Her trauma watch.
No, her what? Her ass by...
She gets harassed by Jo Bell. Well, she probably
I heard her ass by. What
yeah, well,
my
she
ears?
Probably does get asked by Jo Bell because he's very close to her.
It's Jo in his ass and her ass. And this is Mr. Bell doing.
Mr. Bell, yeah. He's very. But the way that, again, the way it's directed when she's off to go to see the DJ and Jo Bell's like, "Oh, hello." And it's it's like handheld right close up. So you feel like the awkwardness.
He owns this part. He's brilliant. He's the right level of like camp to it. When he's on that screen, he's so dynamic. All like not all, but the majority of the side characters in this are just they're great. They're all really strong.
Okay, well let's talk about I've got Jo Bell and Tazen Beaker. She's the one that kills him.
All right, yeah.
So you've got that relationship.
That she was maybe the weakest link.
But the funny thing is with her, and yet she is very... She's probably not the best actress.
The great leader has ordered you dead!
I think it's just the wrong character for her.
No, but I think she's perfectly cast because she's supposed to be that kind of character that everyone's going to look down on and not take seriously, and she wants a bit of power. And she... There's something... Well, also, is there something that happened with her and Jo Bell in the past? There's probably a whole backstory there.
I got the impression that she was one of his students, like lots of students are, and she obviously idolises him and he knows it, so he plays to it, and then he's kind of like, but why would I be interested in you? I know you idolise me. It was almost a little bit... I didn't quite believe it. Like, she's good, but it was more on like a comical side to me than like a...
But I think that's just her acting. I think that's just how she is.
I could imagine her being really evil, really just being that one thing, or... I could imagine, like the woman that we're going to mention later, the other woman that tries to get Davros killed. I could imagine her doing that part.
Really? Oh, my God.
Because, I tell you why I think she'd do it well, because the bits where you have to believe that she's trying to do this good thing and she's trying to, like, oh, but, like, Davros is just ruining it and, like, if we wasn't here, we could do things properly and we would... And actually, it's just greed, isn't it?
Well, no, I don't... I think she's just naive, isn't she? She's just very naive. Tazen Beaker.
No. The woman later.
Oh, hang on. We're going all over the place. You're talking about Kara. Okay.
I'm talking about Kara. I could imagine you doing that part very well.
I don't know if you could swap Eleanor Bron and... Oh, I've forgotten her name that plays
Tazen
Beaker.
That's not to
now.
Dismiss... the car, but you know the bit when she's talking to and she's like, and it's just I can imagine her doing that that sort of like
Oh, sort of like really innocent, and then she's
yeah,
secretly
and we just
evil.
want to do that, you know. I can imagine doing that really well, and then being like proper evil bitch, like
So I
I can
suppose here
imagine.
she's, well, I mean, she's the definition, really, of a wet blanket, basically, is
Yeah.
Tazenbika. I mean, she was famous. I mean, she hadn't, didn't have the best career. She was super famous before this for being in Upstairs, Downstairs as the maid. So she's
Right,
basically
yeah.
the maid from, you know, like the Downton Abbey type
Yeah,
style
yeah.
thing. And she was that young girl that was the lowest of the low servants.
Yeah.
So it sort of follows that sort of typecasting. But yeah, she's, I don't know if she believes Davros. Well, she doesn't, but she doesn't want to become a Dalek. She's like, I don't know, she's a bit.
I think she knows that Davros is like this very high being who's taken interest in her, and that interest is nice, but she's so infatuated with Joe Bell, she doesn't know if she can do it. And then when he starts, as he always does, and she knows that someone else has fawned over her, but she doesn't really want to do it because she is like smitten with him, infatuated, but does in the
Well,
end.
but then eventually, because she tries to warn him, she gets killed as well.
I think that was always his plan. I think like he wanted her to kill him because then his hands are clean.
Davros.
Yeah, and then she just gets killed by the Dalek anyway for killing him.
I think everyone, well, I mean, everyone's doomed, really. Nearly everybody dies, apart from a few people, as usual. Okay, well,
It's a high death count.
so Joe Bell. I mean, amazing death scene with the wig falling off is just the perfect. It's just brilliant.
It, the whole that whole character's brilliant.
Like he, I
Ten
mean,
out of ten.
he's a bit pervy for Perry though. That's not nice,
That's kind of his
but
character,
that's his
though.
character, isn't he? I suppose, yeah.
When he does that whole thing, because you see it just before, he does that line up and all, he's got them all lined up and he's so over the, that's him. It's he does it so well.
It's so
Such
opposite
a good
from Keeping Up
character.
Appearances as well.
I know. I think he's better in this than Keeping Up.
Yeah, I mean, he gets to act a bit more here, I
To
suppose.
do more, and it's such a oh yeah, no, he's great in it. He's sort of reveling in it.
So, okay, Kara and Vogel, though. So that's the food lady and her secretary.
What did
Oh.
he remind me of? Do you we are really going back here. Do you remember the 12-parter, the guy that was like in charge, and he had that sidekick secretary that
Oh
was
my God. Are you talking about the Daleks' master plan and Mavic
yeah.
Chen's secretary? He was sort of the bold guy that was in like one episode where we thought was going to be in
Yeah.
it more and he disappeared. How the
And
hell?
he was really like smarmy, wasn't he? And like that's who he reminded me of.
Mean, he's just a sort of a camp secretary, really.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I loved it, but that's what it reminded me of.
I mean, and he gets killed as well, and he draws out his death scene as well when he's
Oh, why wouldn't you?
exterminated.
You're gonna die. If you're gonna like that's your last scene, you want a good death. Maybe we should start doing an Oscar on deaths instead of
Oh my God,
like
another category.
no, I think
Oh.
we've the category.
I
And it's
was
enough. We have 10 categories.
say. Well, maybe we can take it into consideration when going for a nomination for one of the others, like if they did do a good death scene.
I feel like deaths, there are so many deaths in Doctor Who. Don't know why we've not thought until now
I know,
about having a
it's a
good
bit
death.
late now. We're not going to go back and check every single extermination.
22 seasons, is it?
Oh, yeah. Although, actually, you've reminded me, I'm going to make a note. I had an idea for a DOS something for the DOSkers.
Okay.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that at the end.
Listeners, you heard it here first.
Yeah,
My
but
first idea.
But Kara's brilliant. She's. That's the
Oh,
thing
she's.
about all these characters. They're so different to each other. Because, like, you've got Joe Bell and Tazenbeaker there, and then you couldn't get any different to Kara and Vogel on the
They
other
are so
planet.
solid in their characters, right? Our one complaint is when sometimes they just don't fully commit to a character. And they all commit to what their characters are.
I mean, her line when she's like, "And I will control the food supply of the entire galaxy." You know, I mean, you've got to be a certain type of actor to say that. But
Exactly.
you get who they are straight away, and even like the sets and everything are great in this. You can tell exactly after that first scene, she's talking to Davros about like money or whatever, and you can tell she's like a businesswoman in space.
She's a businesswoman in space.
She's got a secretary.
She's Kara.
But then also these characters, when they all get together later on, she's taken down with all the Davros and everything, where she gets killed, stabbed.
Yeah. Classic.
I like how
that's a good death.
Like, the story does weave in, like, those strands right through. How are these characters going to eventually all end up meeting and being across everything? Because she's hiring Orsini and Bostock, the assassin guys.
Also great.
So they come in. I mean, there's so much happening.
Orsini in particular. Maybe Bostock's, like, again, in the same way that she's got a secretary, he's a good second.
We've sort of got secondary characters and then they've got their own secondary characters.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all these double acts, but I suppose that's part of the narrative. They need someone to talk to in their scenes because they're all separate. But also it just works really well. Again, you can tell exactly who they are. The look of everybody is so distinct. They're great actors as well. I mean, and Orsini, I think he's got his own comic series spin-off.
Of course.
Everybody has these days. I think that started up the other year. I think there's further adventures of him. But yeah, and they, everyone sort of spends their time, don't they, discussing what they're going to do, and then they're all wandering slowly, slowly towards, like, the same point.
The core
of it. But going on to Orsini, I mean, again, this is the sort of graphic violence and stuff when his leg gets blown up and he thinks he's killed Davros and he hasn't. That was a good twist where Davros then appears at the top.
When Davros appears, that is a great twist. There were two things that I did not see coming. That, I genuinely thought Davros was ahead.
I mean, I think he's great as a head.
He's a great head, but...
He is a good head. Like,
yeah. That'll be the snippet. And then, he was a great head. And that was a... Sorry. Very immature. But that when the doors open and he's there and all his full glory.
Sorry. Carry on.
And he's in his full glory. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, he's there. He's no longer there. Ahead.
It's great. That was one. The second thing that surprised me was when the other Daleks turned up to arrest him.
Yeah.
That was such a, like, left field move. And like, it could have been crap. It could have been like, you take away the heart of what this is, which is trying to kill Davros. And like, I don't know why I enjoyed it so much. I just kind of like the bureaucracy of it. It's kind of like the first real time where we see, and it made me realize, like, A, how long this series has been going on for, that you have such levels of bureaucracy in place. Like, for some reason, that moment for me gave me it sort of like stretched it in a different way as a universe, because we're so used to having, like, the Doctor and his companion, and they go to these places and it's their adventures, right? But this thing where it was like, no, these Daleks have come in. You're on trial from, like, years ago. We're going to take you. Like, and then they go off and they take him off. Off he goes to go on trial and he flies away. And that's a moment for me where I really felt the expansion of the universe. And I'm like, it is beyond just the Doctor and his companion.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, the Doctor doesn't do anything. The other Daleks come up because we sort of had the beginnings of that last time, because the last time we saw Davros, the Daleks were, because the Davros had been frozen and then the Daleks sort of carried on without him, and then they were trying to get rid of him last time.
They were trying to get him back, weren't they, so that they could get him to do something to repair them.
Well, yeah, he was sort of their prisoner then, I think. But then here, so that Davros has made his escape. White and gold ones here. Yeah. Nice colour, different type. They look good.
Yeah. My head, they were white and gold because they were medical.
Yeah, why not? Oh my God, has anyone ever said that before? Yeah. I think this is new information, everyone. The medical Daleks. That is a perfect reason. Yeah, they look good for that setting. So he's like, I'm going to make some new Daleks, different colour scheme this time, everyone. Here we go.
Also, like, I didn't think about it, but then I thought, oh, it's the 80s, they're medical, until when they come in at the end, and I was like, You need them to be a different colour to tell which one's a witch.
Yeah, and then these are the ones probably from last time that have been finding him. And he's never been in control. Ever since that first story, they just killed him.
I mean, they do it so well because they sow that seed that there's something else coming. Like, there's another thing on the way. So they know, like, there's one ship coming, and then they sow on there's another one arriving. But you don't know what it is, and the story's still going. So they sow that seed really early on. And then when it happens, I was just floored. I was like, oh my gosh, what a turn up for the books. It's the last thing I expected. It was a plot twist that I did not expect. And also, it's the sort of plot twist that I think in any other story I'd have been really angry at. I'd have been like, what a cop out. But for some reason, it just completely worked. I think because all the other characters, it's such a strong story and idea. I was like, oh my gosh. And then it's almost just like business as usual. They come in and they're like, yeah, you're on trial. Where have you been? Come on. Like, off they go to sort that out. And for me, this is the first time I felt, because we've talked about, look, there's been these spin-offs, there's been this stuff. But this is the first time where I've really felt like I've seen it. Like, within the story.
Well, I suppose that's the revelation of the Daleks, I suppose.
It was a revelation. Sarah's revelation. The only duo you've missed out.
Hang on.
Is at the very start.
Let me just tick them off. Dr. and Perry, Karen Vogel. Oh, yeah, here we go. Natasha and Grigory is next.
I felt like I'd seen them before, but I hadn't.
They don't really. The thing is, though, there's so many characters, they don't all go anywhere. I mean, their purpose is to show that there aren't actual bodies there. There's something dodgy going on in this place.
She's come to get her father. That scene with the, is brilliant.
Kill me, child!
I can't!
If you ever love me, Natasha, kill me! Kill me!
That always stood out to me. How amazing is that? Again, maybe a bit graphic for kids in the 80s, I'm not sure.
It's terrifying. He's becoming like a blob. He's becoming a brainy blob.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's got a metally mouth. It's terrifying. It's probably one of the most horrific images we've had in Doctor Who in a long time.
And there's that whole scene where he's talking to her and we slow the story right down and this whole thing is going on.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go anywhere. They just get killed later on.
They kill him, but what it shows is what's happening. It's done so well. That is a great monster. And also, again, oh gosh, Mark, this is such a revelation. It reminds you of how horrible the Daleks are, because we're so used to these metal bodies with the annoying voices, and there's like rows of them. I mean, there's not that many Daleks on this planet.
I mean, do you know what? That's what I was going to say. For a Dalek story, they're in the background a lot of the time. It's only right at the end where you really get Dalek.
It's a Davros story, not a Dalek story.
It's Davros, isn't it? Yeah.
The Davros story.
But see, like, it's a mate, that room.
That reminds you just how horrible they are as a thing. We've seen them get blown up, we've seen it, but to see that is like, it's grim. I can't think, it's been a long time since we've had something that level of gruesome.
I mean, we've had a lot in this season of stuff, but this is even more. Yeah, this is an upper level for that. But I don't know. It just works perfectly because you still got that.
It doesn't feel like the budgets run out. Let's put it that way. Normally, because I'm guessing we're near the end. How many has it been now?
Yeah, this is the last one of the season. Yeah.
Normally, we would have no money left.
But it's this direction as well. The lighting in that scene, the lighting in all of this, all the sets, you feel like you're there. They're very distinct. And the location stuff helps as well with all the snow and everything. But just having that sort of glass Dalek, that image, like, you think, why haven't they done that before? And we haven't really seen inside a Dalek that many times, once or twice. But yeah, it's the horror of it. It's more in the background of what's happening. They're turning these bodies into food. That's what Davros, he was turning people into Daleks. It's all, we've never really seen that or had that concept before. We've just seen a Dalek as a Dalek. It's grown from a mutant-y thing. We've never seen that human connection before, and that is perfect. Those characters are there for that reason, and it's brilliant. So they're great. But yes, Shane, if they die again. And they don't even meet the Doctor, do they? Or maybe like once when they get arrested. That's it. They don't really even interact very much. Nobody really interacts that much. Yeah, that's Natasha and Gregory. Davros and Daleks I put down as a pair. And then I put Mutant and Dalek Man I put down as a pair. So we talked about them. That is everyone. And then it's just the DJ was on his own. Like I say, I've always loved this story. It reminds me of when it was on TV. I must have been in like primary school. I remember watching it and then going to like Tesco's for a big shop on like a Friday night afterwards. Oh, yeah. It must have been on like 7 o'clock. And then that reminded me of, did you always used to love wearing your school uniform in the night time? You know, like you'd, I like have my like primary school jumper on. You know when you had to go to like Tesco's and stuff at like 8 o'clock at night, and you'd wear your school, you'd wear like your school jumper at night.
To the supermarket for your big shop the same time every week.
It was for that around Revelation of the Daleks on TV time was a Friday night for some reason at that time. Yeah, it was that time.
I think we were a Thursday. I remember once saying to my teacher, she was like, are you doing anything nice tonight? And I went, we're going to Asda. And she was like, well, that sounds like a great night. and we used to get a McDonald's before. That's why I remember, because there was a McDonald's opposite the Asda. Get a McDonald's and then we go to Asda. And my dad would go and do the shop and me and mum would stay in clothes. Sums us up to a tea.
Yeah, I just remember, because this was shown, I might have taped this off the TV and then gone to Tesco's afterwards. And when they showed this on TV, it was done in four. They cut it down to four episodes, which is random. What was I talking about that? Oh, yeah, and then, again, I've got a memory of this at uni in my, like, shared house. I put this on in the living room because I was like, this is a cool Doctor Who story. And, The DJ says something. He says, he's telling people, isn't he? He's like doing messages and stuff to people.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
And he mentions someone died of Beck's syndrome.
Yes.
And Beck's syndrome. And we had a friend at uni called Bex. So we always used to say, she's got Beck's syndrome. And Beck's syndrome, every time I see it now, it just reminds me of her. It's Beck's syndrome. We're like, oh, you've got Beck's syndrome. There we go. They're the memories that come flooding back whenever I watch Revelation of the Daleks. But I've just seen this one so many times. And it's funny that it is probably the one that the Doctor is in least, but it's still
really
a great
strong.
Story.
It's really strong.
I'm glad you liked it as well. And it's the end of the season.
In fact, do you know what? As I went into it, I was like, this feels like the end of the season because it's a Dalek. It's usually a big story to end the season.
Well, and it's the first time this Doctor's met the Daleks as well, which is great.
Yeah,
and,
well, of course, because they talk about we don't recognise his face.
Yes, yeah, and Perry doesn't recognise the Daleks because when she sees something in the background, the Dalek goes across the screen. She's like, what's that? She's not like, it's a Dalek. She has no idea. So that's good that Perry's met the Daleks. She's done them all now, hasn't she? The Master... Yeah. The Rani, the Daleks. She's done a lot. She has done a lot. And I like how it does wrap up with the plants and they're going to basically make soya food. Soya. Space soya.
We'll use some plants.
Yeah. That was the other two that I didn't mention. I didn't even write them down. The two guys, Lilt and...
Oh, yeah.
The other guy.
What's it called, the Daleks?
They're the only two that actually survive, really, apart from a lot of the sort of backgroundy funerally people.
So one of my favourite moments, which shouldn't have made me laugh, like, as in, like, a non-funny, funny moment. They run in to go, everyone, run, or get out of here. They're already running. Like, he's saying, everyone, and they'd already start, get out of here, they're already running. It was like, everyone, ah! Why that made me... I think, like, we're coming to the end. For some reason, that proper cracked me up.
They do it really well because they run down the same corridor again and again, and they make it look like it's different.
And it's like proper flaily running as well. Like, Dunrin, all they've been told is get out of here. And it's like someone's gone bomb, but like no one said that. They went get out, but their reaction is like so extreme. And before he's even finished the sentence, they're reacting.
Well, it ends on a freeze frame.
Can't we go somewhere fun?
Fun? Oh, I suppose anywhere will be peaceful after Necros. All right. I'll take you to...
So the Doctor's like, I'm going to take you to... And it freeze frames. So originally, it wasn't going to be a freeze frame. He was going to say, I'm going to take you to Blackpool. Hang on, I'll show you this. And this is why they freeze framed it.
See, have announced that Doctor Who will be off the air for 18 months.
Oh.
Doctor Who was about to go on trial for its life after the production team was criticised by senior BBC management for being complacent. The programme itself was too violent.
The news come out, Doctor Who is axed.
Shit.
So they had the whole next season ready. They had all the scripts. It was going to be Blackpool with the toy maker on the pier and stuff.
Oh, wow!
They had everything ready to go, and they were like... Then the BBC were like, we're not making Doctor Who anymore. So then this whole thing happens. So they had to... So they carried on paying everyone, I think. So Colin Baker,
they
Nicola Bryant...
They
had to pay. They might as well have just made it. It probably costs more not to make it than to make it. But because of all this violent stuff, and the people in the BBC were like, why are we still making Doctor Who? So then all the fans... All the press are like outraged. So this is where, yeah, so it's off for 18 months. So basically there's a whole missing season. There's like a whole year and a bit where there's no...
Did they not make it when they came back?
Well, they do. So it's off for 18 months. But I think it only came back because everyone made such a massive fuss. I think if nobody had said anything, that was it. They are trying to get rid of Doctor Who from now on, basically. Right.
But then... Didn't they just go to Blackpool anyway if they'd already written their episodes and stuff?
So we'll talk about that next season, but they didn't make it in the end. They had to scrap a whole season.
Oh my gosh, what a waste.
So that's why we've got the cliffhanger. So now I just have to send you something else. People will be upset if we don't cover this, so you need to watch this. So, as I say, all the press and everything is happening. So even they did a Live Aid style charity song to save Doctor Who in between called Doctor in Distress. You have to watch a bit of it.
Just about to open it.
Okay, see what you think of this. So this came out in that... This is how, like, big it was.
The first comment while it was loading is, whoever says insert season here was the lowest point for Doctor Who needs to be forced to listen to this over and over again.
It's terrible. But it's very infamous.
Who did this, though? What was this on? Can't have been on BBC if they were trying to get rid of
it. This is a music video. They released a single, like the fans and stuff.
But where did it play?
Well, I don't think it played. I don't think it got to the radio stations or MTV or anything. I don't know. It must have been on something.
My gosh. An old man took two teachers into time. It started all the legend that no other could replace. I can't look away. Well, that was 2 minutes. I mean, it kind of like, I want to know every name of who was in that. I obviously saw Colin there having his moment of exterminate. And
the master, the brigadier is there.
Oh my gosh, Perry? Have I got to that yet?
I think that might be towards the end. The lady from Man About the House is there. The one... I mean, I think it's the...
Have we talked about you and Man About the House even yet?
No. What is there to say?
Me, I feel like that is when I... It was before we started doing the podcast.
Yeah.
But that is when I truly realise how much of a loser you are. Those, like,
oh my god,
70s, 80s, because you went to a Man About the House.
So I went to a convention and it had Doctor Who people, and it had... I went because Sally Thompson from Man About the House
was
there.
And you like She told me about it, and I was like, what is this? What has happened? Like, I've never heard of this show. And you're like, Mad About the House. And you had a t-shirt made with it on. It felt like a complete left field. Like, where has this come from? I've never heard of this show. And like, you, I think I'd watched it one weekend, and then you'd found this convention, and then you made a t-shirt, and all this stuff was happening. That's when I truly understand that Mark likes really old bad TV.
Well, no, and I think they had, because it was...
I don't even know if it's bad, but I've never heard of it. And to me, it's that epitome of a season that's like...
No, it's not like the most well-known sitcom, but I did it in A-level media studies. That's where I first watched it, and I've loved it ever since. Yeah, I love Man About the House.
I know you do.
And George and Mildred. So Doctor in Distress, just going back to that. Oh, and the tagline was, "Who cares?" Which probably wasn't the best tagline ever. It's on
I
the
feel front. Like that would be my tagline. Who cares?
Oh, and it did go to Comic Relief as well. So that was part of it. I mean, I don't think it charted. No, it didn't chart at all. Why would it? the BBC refused to broadcast the song on the grounds of its poor quality, apparently. But I mean, it was sort of against the BBC, so they're not going to want to do it anyway, are they? But it worked, or maybe it wasn't because of this, but it did work, and Doctor Who did come back. But this is where, yeah, the future of Doctor Who is looking a bit dodgy from now on, because it was just the people at the BBC that were just very critical of it. And but it, I think it came to a shock for everyone, because they were the ones signing off on the scripts and okaying it and stuff. So I don't know. There's all a lot of talk about different agendas. Like, the head of the BBC, Michael Grade, was friends with Colin Baker's ex-wife, so he didn't particularly like Colin Baker.
Right.
There's all stuff like that. They don't really like the sci-fi stuff. It's not very popular at the time. They probably want to do other things. They wanted... There's another theory. They're about to set up EastEnders the next year. They wanted loads of money to set up EastEnders.
Oh, cool. Right, yeah, yeah.
So they were trying to make cuts and stuff as well. Look, I think there's just a huge amount of different things going on at the time. And Doctor Who is the victim.
But also, so, it's a 20-odd-year-old show. I mean, it's now, there's very few shows that make it past that.
Yeah, so that's... 1985, so that's March 1985 that was released. So there obviously is another series, but we will, once we go into the next series, it will be 18 months later.
When did it stop? Was it in the 80s it stopped?
89, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't born yet.
Yeah, well, I'm born, yeah, in this next season. So
celebrate your birth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 1990,
yeah. So Doctor Who was off by then. So yeah, it's all of this is happening. But I mean, and we have said about the violence in this series, but I mean, but then you get something like Revelation of Dalek at the end, and you're like, this should carry on. This is great.
Yeah, it's a really strong one.
I think a lot of it is down to the direction, because I think I would say 90% of the directors in the 80s don't care and put as little effort in, and it was just point and shoot, let's get on with it. And you just get the odd director that actually wants to try and do something. Like, again, the handheld stuff, we haven't had that since he directed last. No one's doing, you know, Time Lash or whatever last week. We didn't have any handheld stuff on Herbert or anything, did we? You know, any drama there? That was just flat lighting, stage sort of setup. And then you go to something like this,
which
is like, you know, it's just totally different. It's just got everything, and there's just like the lighting. Just sort out the lighting. I blame all the lighting directors in the 80s.
Mark blamed all the issues on the lighting.
Yes. So because the scripts are good, they're there, and the acting is most of the time good. It's just, yeah, there's just a few things, and then add all that behind the scenes stuff, and it hasn't got a chance. But there we go. That is how things were going down at the time. So you had to see Doctor in Distress. I had to show you that. So carry on watching it.
I will. I don't think I can't.
It is quite catchy, actually.
Doctor in Distress.
So, I mean, maybe we can perform that at the end of the next Oscars, maybe? Do you want to give it a go? No. Okay. I thought it might be fun. We could try.
I mean, sure. Give me some lyrics. I have to. The thing is, the reason I'm hesitant is I'm gonna have to listen to it a few times. And I don't know if I have the willpower to do that. But we'll see.
Oh, my only other idea about the Doskers was, you know, when we do the clothes watch thing and we do the catwalk, we should do, because you know they do the voiceover, don't they, when they're walking up, going, "I'm wearing this and I feel great." We should do the characters of that, shouldn't we? We should do the voiceovers, like the Doctor would be like, "I'm wearing this blue cape because it's the official mourning color on Necros. I feel warm. I feel great. I'm here to see
Can
my
we
old
just do the
friend."
end bit instead of
I
the
think we should do that.
description? Down the runway, I'm wearing my royal blue for the royalty that I am.
And Perry can be like, "These shorts are so great. They're great for climbing spaceships and running around in Spain. I feel super." You know, it should be like that, shouldn't it? Okay, well, we'll talk about that when we do the
Mark,
Doskers.
we should come up with things that like the judges would say, never
Yeah.
mind also the contestants.
No, I think we could do that. I think we could do that.
Don't plan this. Okay.
Okay, well, let's leave it there then. A
Yeah,
good
on that
one to
cliffhanger.
leave it on. Great story. I was going to say, what's your favourite of the season, but do you remember all of them from the season?
I don't
No,
remember
fine.
those.
Okay, never mind. We'll talk about that when we do the
We've
Doskers.
got it next week, Mark.
Yeah.
Move on. You've got to edit this thing. I was
Okay,
going to go out
fine.
yesterday.
Okay, fine. Well, that's the end.
Literally
There
got
we
to go
go.
out yesterday.
Okay, fine. Well, thanks everyone for listening and joining us this season. We will be back with the Doskers very soon. I won't tell you about the next season yet. We'll do that next time. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Two Watch Who. You can
Are
support
you
us.
saying Twitter still? Do you not say
Yeah,
X?
Twitter's
Twitter
Twitter.
X.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Twitter. It's Twitter. You can support us at buymeacoffee.com/2watchwho. Thank you so much for everyone that has been supporting us. We got a coffee from Shell Sue. I think that's who. Bought us a coffee the other day. Oh, and
Thank
also,
you.
thank you so much. And also, she said her and her husband, I think they've been watching through the episodes, they're caught up with us. They've made Classic Who bingo cards. I want to know more about that. What's on them?
Yes.
Send us
Yes. Oh my
it.
gosh. Because we've talked about the drinking game that it's talked
Yeah.
to.
So
Yes.
send us the bingo cards.
Oh
Can
gosh,
you get in
yes.
touch? That sounds really interesting. What's on there?
I want to just choose a random episode and then we do a bingo card to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's give it a go. We'll join in if you want to send
Yeah.
us that. So thank you. And yeah, we'll see
To
you
be
very soon.
fair, when we met up, we did have a nice celebratory meal together, didn't we? Which we like normally we used to do takeaways. That was our thing, and we
Oh
couldn't.
yes. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
But
yeah.
we haven't told what we did to me and Mark. We did. I don't even know what it was. What would you call that meal? The fish and chips. We did the biggest fish and chips option there
Well, no, it was an
was.
option because it had a glass of champagne with it. It was like giant fish and chips with champagne was
It
the
was giant
option.
fish and chips. It was a giant fish, chips, salad,
Oh, I forgot about the salad.
and the
Well.
mushy peas. And I had to have your mushy peas
Oh,
and a
yeah.
glass of champagne. Oh my gosh,
But
it's
it was
amazing.
more, there was more salad than chips with the fish and
It
chips, though.
was
So I'm not sure, actually.
huge. But I was like, the maths is there. I was like, surely this is such good value.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
We did have a ridiculous fish and chips and champagne and salad. We were both trying to just get through the salad, weren't we? We were like,
I appreciate the salad though. I think a
I did as
salad
well.
with
I
fish
don't
and
think I would have picked
chips,
a salad,
no.
but I appreciated it.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of it.
Give it a go, everyone. Have some salad. Whenever you have chips, always have a salad as well on the side. But yeah.
Giant fish, like, you know, chippy fish, chippy chips. They were proper chippy chips, weren't they? They weren't like oven chips, chippy chips, a salad, a massive salad, and a glass of champagne.
Oh my God. Okay, next week we'll say about when we went on the ghost train. I totally forgot to talk about that. We'll leave that as
I
a
shown that picture
cliffhanger.
with you?
No. Oh God. We'll leave that as a cliffhanger for next week, our ghost train story on Brighton Pier. But in the meantime, we will see you very soon. We better go and see the Great Healer.
yeah.
He's waiting on us.
That.
see you later. Bye. Bye.
To watch who?